Okay, we're right to...
Yeah, be quiet now. Kerry, go.
Oh.
I'm shushing them.
Oh, you're shushing them. You don't even... You just sound everything. Right. Hello, I'm the one who's not being shushed. This exercise is going to be the explanation of some pieces of computer hardware, and we're going to pass the hardware around and explain to you what it looks like and take it to bits and probably not put it back together.
Because no back together.
Because
never
that's... No, it'll never go back together once we pull the hard drive apart. That'll be the end of it. So we have Mr. Engineer with his big screwdriver.
And hammer.
And hammer. And we have Geraldine, who doesn't have a screwdriver or a hammer, but is going to...
Might be a screw loose, but not a
screw
screwdriver.
Loose, yep, fair enough. And we have Gemma, who's seen all of this before because she lives with me. So she's going to sit in the corner and read Module 2. And that was a significant look in her direction. Okay, let's get started.
Okay.
I've just passed over a Pentium 2 motherboard. Mm-hmm. I can tell that it runs at 350 megahertz. Because that's the jumpers, which we will describe.
Mm.
What we need to do is go through and explain what each piece is, what it appears like. Mm. So why don't we start with your right, Geraldine?
Yep.
See if you can identify what we've got.
Well, the motherboard or system board is probably about 12 inches long, about 6 inches in width, depth.
It's an ATX board, if my memory serves.
It is indeed.
It's an ATX board.
It is.
And we're looking at the right-hand side of this board. And I have some plastic, probably, I'm going to speak in inches, half an inch or a centimetre in height. There's three rows of those, and they are plastic. And they've got little teeth. I would call them teeth.
Hmm.
But maybe that's...
And what do we plug in there?
Lights and speakers.
Cameras?
No. It's an expansion slot for other boards to plug in, and it's the EISA standard.
Oh, is that what she's looking at?
Yes.
I couldn't figure out what she was on about.
Just out of interest, they're black.
Okay. And there's some little things like...
Don't worry about those.
There's
components on there.
Little things that I'm not worrying about, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got three EISA slots there. Now, we can tell that they're EISA, not PCI or AGP. If you move further to the left,
mm-hmm.
you'll feel that there's some smaller slots. I feel very similar, but they're physically smaller.
They're a lot smaller, because the first ones are probably about...
Have you got the board sideways?
No.
Well, it depends what you call sideways. The rear of the board, what would normally be poking out the back, is pointing towards Geraldine.
Ah, see, I would have actually done it so that the it looks like it is when it's in the case. Turn it by 90 degrees clockwise, like that, so that it looks like it when she's actually pulling the computer apart.
Well, depends how you're pulling it apart. Yeah, okay, so yeah. Mini tower.
Your mini tower, or well, even the desktop would face this way as well.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Geraldine. Now, what you're looking
That's
at
right.
at the bottom now,
mm-hmm.
We just turn the board around by 90 degrees so that it looks like it is that does when you're in the case,
mm-hmm.
so that when we say things like left and right and stuff,
yeah.
you actually
it
know
makes
that that's
sense
how they look in the
to,
case.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, so we have those three long plastic, and I'd say the back. Seven inches.
That'd be seven.
In width or length. And then these next lot, I've got a different texture to them too. They feel like actually...
Much
a,
finer.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I was going to notice with these slots here, which I was just going to point out to you, Geraldine, have you mm. noticed that there's actually a little square hole in the middle of the slot?
I hadn't, but yes, now I see that now.
Well, they're actually a 16-bit ISA slot, mm-hmm. and if you had an 8-bit ISA card, it would only go into the left-hand half of that of that slot, and that's
yep.
why there's the little separation off there.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I was just looking for an EISA board. I don't actually have my funny
mouth. No, three comms are EISA.
The only one I can see at
the
moment is PCI.
Ah, okay.
Then we have the next lot of these plastic raised about a centimetre or half an inch in height, three quarters maybe. There's four of those.
Oh no, I'd say quarter of an inch in height actually.
Oh no,
less than half.
And they're the PCI slots.
Yeah, are they a lot? As Ian said, the teeth are a lot smaller, on them.
Yep.
They've still got that little break in them like you mentioned, Kerry.
Yeah, except that's actually a key notch on the right-hand edge to stop you from putting the cards in the wrong way around.
Oh, okay.
Because if you put the card in the wrong way around, they go...
And also stops you from putting an ATP in a PCI.
It does. There's a notch in the right-hand side that stops you from putting the card in upside down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's raised.
Yep.
Okay. To the left of those.
I think Ian's got a card that he's flopping around there.
Yeah. I was going, whenever you want to do it.
Yeah.
But we can actually see the difference in the EISAs. So here's an EISA card.
Mm-hmm. And Ian's just passed me.
And you look at the bit that actually plugs into those long sockets, which in this case is closest towards you, Geraldine.
Yep.
You feel how long that is?
Yep.
Compare that to a PCI.
And it's a lot smaller. Yep. Okay, the PCI slot is probably 3 inches in width, the bit that goes into... Yeah, I'd say about 3 inches.
Yeah.
Has different... just feeling the different fittings.
No, they're different cards, so just worry about the connector they're going to.
All right. So, this one's in the small one, I guess.
PCI.
Yep, PCI card. And it will only fit in the... You can tell they'll only fit in that particular smaller one. Okay. And this one... The actual slot is probably the first part before the notch is about 3 inches, and the next bit is only about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches in width.
Well, that's PCI. So what we'll do is, just so I can demonstrate this, and Geraldine will have seen this before. Yeah. I've now put. It's not quite.
No, because you're resting on the table.
Ah, yes.
There you go. Feel there, and I'll hold the boy.
Oh, yep, that's got it. Thanks. There you go. I've now temporarily put a card into a slot, and you can see how that fits together. You've got the bracket running down the left-hand side. It's vertical, which will be the back of the machine.
Yep.
And that's actually got a BNC, which is for coax networking, an AUI, which is an external transceiver that we'll talk about in Cisco, and a twisted pair. It's got all three on it. I would I would guess that that card is a 3C509 or something?
No,
900. One of the old ones that actually still has the coax on it. Lift that up. There we go.
And only a 10 meg card.
Whereas this one only fits into one of these.
I'll just hold the board down on the top end.
I'm just trying to put this into this one.
Very firm.
Very firm, okay.
You're doing it right, it's just very firm.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it does take a bit of pressure, doesn't it?
Which is why you make sure the motherboard's mounted properly before you do this, or you'll crack all the tracks.
That's right.
Which we've probably done, but who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And this one's just got the one... the connection.
Oh, yeah, that's just got the twisted pair connector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to pass around the PCI card to Graham first.
Did you, John, hang the whole motherboard over so we can see it? Because only Graham's seen it yet.
Yep. I was going to get you to do the AGP one first.
AGP one?
So here's an AGP which, compared to the PCI, you'll see they're very different in not size but offset.
Here you go. The notches on the other end.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's further offset.
ISA one.
And this is called a...
AGP.
AGP.
Advanced Graphics Port.
Okay. So that's the...
Yes.
That's the little one at the end. Okay, which
is... Yeah, hang on. Yes, Dean. Oh, wow.
This is all the ISA.
Yeah.
I can feel the same.
What, first time, Geraldine?
I thought I saw puzzles.
No, we've already spoken about that. Ian has just said that if the motherboard isn't mounted, you'll flex it too much and you'll break the tracks, but we're not actually talking about the actual raw raw way the board is mounted at this stage. We've just got the board sitting on the desk, so we cover that when we actually pull the PC apart.
Okay, good. Where's the PCI card?
They only go
in
one way.
Because you've got the connectors to the back.
Well, we've actually got EISA slots on this one, so they'll take EISA cards or EISA. We've got PCI and we've got AGP all on the one board. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is. This is a Pentium 2 board we're looking at. So, yeah, that's the board we've got here. Okay, so
so we've got this one in there.
Yep, and the AGP is indented further in than the PCI is, and it has a keying notch in the left-hand side. And yeah, it stands up in that slot quite
nicely.
It's
actually only probably 2.5 inches in width, that one, where it connects in.
Well, the AGP is
very different to the PCI, but it's offset.
It's offset from the others.
More central in the board.
Yeah, it's offset by about an inch or inch and a half.
Thereabouts.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's not all that difference in size. Slightly smaller, but not much.
Okay.
But also, those little blopping bits that you can feel in the slot itself are in different places, so you cannot plug it in.
Okay.
The wrong way.
Yeah, you cannot plug the thing in the wrong way, although if you... Yeah. Well, have I got the wrong microphone plugged into this conference? I think I might, you know. Can you hear everybody else, Dean, or can you just hear me?
Mm-hmm.
You can feel there's a slot close to the back of the machine.
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
But on the PCI, the slot's up the...
Okay. Yep. I'll see.
Front of the board.
You can't actually physically...
If you drive in the ISA, you can actually put it in, but it won't go in the right position.
Okay.
So you won't be able to mount it out the back of the machine.
Right.
Can you hear Ian all right, Dean? No response from Dean. Okay. All right, let's... Okay, no worries. Yeah, that's all right. You're allowed to. Yeah. And we're just showing the cards to some other people who are in on this as well. Yeah, we'll talk about that further on down the track. You can basically run one operating system inside another operating system. It's called a virtual machine. So you can run a copy of Linux inside of Windows. You can run another copy of Windows inside of Windows. So you can actually boot up an old copy of Windows 98 and use it with JAWS and stuff inside the virtual machine. Okay. Now, probably the next thing we'll continue on with this board while they're rabbiting on there. To the left of the slots, Geraldine, that's the BIOS chip.
Okay.
Winbond.
Yeah, it's a BIOS. I know that's this one here.
Yeah.
Oh no, that might be the. Oh, that looks like a BIOS chip to me.
I think this is a flash-based one.
Yeah, it's flash-based BIOS. Yeah, Winbond flash chip.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
The BIOS.
That's the BIOS.
And that's about inch and a bit.
Good with your inches. Yes, she is.
About half or so.
In length and probably half an inch in width. And
it looks like it's a 40-pin DIP.
Okay.
28.
28 pin?
It's got
40 pins are about twice as long.
You know what it reminds me of is a razor blade.
Yeah, but
except with the little bits on the side.
One of the things I want to show you, and be careful, because... OH&S and all that sort of crudder. On the back, you'll feel the pins coming through the system board.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's actually in the socket.
They're the
How
surface.
Many pins is
it? 28.
28. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, there's actually two rows of pins. I didn't realise there were actually two rows of pins there.
There's not. There will be something underneath it.
Ah, they'll be hiding something underneath. There's two chips.
What it is, we'll pull that out.
Yeah, we'll pull it. Yeah, okay. Turn that back over the right way.
Mm-hmm.
As Ian goes for a screwdriver. Above. Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with his hammer, isn't he? If he had a hammer, he'd hammer in the morning, and then he'd hammer in the afternoon,
and, the evening
and it'd be all hammered in. Yeah. Above the BIOS chip, it's a little to the right, is a little round battery.
Yeah, that looks like a watch battery size.
It's
very similar to a watch battery.
Well, you'd have to have a big watch for that battery.
Yeah.
That's a CR2032.
Okay.
It's a 3-volt lithium cell.
All right. Okay.
3.3,
no, we actually read it and it's got 3 written on it.
Well, it should be 3.3.
If we pull it out, it'll be 3. No, because Gemma measured it the other day with her multimeter from Mars. They're 3 volts. So there you go. So that's that. That's the battery. And you can actually take the battery out. There's a little...
Take it out.
You squeeze this little stupid...
little tab. It's easy with a screwdriver. But... or a hammer.
Or a hammer. They say a lot of things are easier with a hammer.
don't worry about it. They're a tricky thing to get out, but you have to replace them every...
okay.
What, 4 or 5 years?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
No,
too messy.
We'll boost out and see what's under there.
As he goes with his screwdriver, he's now inserting his screwdriver into the dips underneath the dip socket, and he's levering up the processor. You're supposed to have a proper IC extraction tool, but he's an engineer, so he's got a screwdriver.
No, there is just another integrated circuit underneath there.
Ah.
So it's another chip, small one, sitting underneath. That's all it is.
Oh, well, there you go.
Saving board space. Pop that back in, maybe the right way around.
So there's actually two of those there.
No, it's just another one.
Just one? Oh, okay.
Probably serves a completely different purpose.
Right.
Why are there numbers on there? Because the world's run by numbers? No. The numbers help you identify what all the different chips do. If you know what a 31796B799J made in Japan is, you can say, well, that's a whatever it is. So the numbers identify them.
As opposed to a 629...
44JPQ.
Made in revision. Korea.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
so tell me before, what are these little things in the midjig is here?
The ones that Ian won't tell you about.
Yeah, the ones he won't tell me about.
They're capacitors. Do you know what a capacitor does?
No.
Well, you do have the capacity to know what a capacitor does.
That's good.
A capacitor is a device that stores and releases electric current.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically two conductors separated by an insulator, which is called the dielectric, if my memory serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
And when you put electrons into it, they charge up the capacitor and they all sort of get stored there until you release them either by putting something across the terminals of the capacitor and it sort of empties out. They're used for smoothing out current. They're also used for things that require power to get started. You charge up some capacitors and then... but they're only a sort of a short-term storage thing.
They're like very short-term battery, but very short-term battery extremely quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And... so that's a capacitor, and there's lots of capacitors on here. And as Mr. Taylor graphically depicts, you need to check your motherboard to see if any capacitors have spewed their innards.
Yes, there's a slightly larger one over on the end towards me.
Mm-hmm.
You might, with your fingernail, be able to feel there's a cross on top.
Yep, I can. Yep.
That's there to actually release it so it doesn't explode. So if something goes wrong with a capacitor, these electrolytic capacitors, which is just a type, explode.
Oh, okay.
So they're weakened at the top, so they'll pop out the top rather than make a really big bang.
No.
Yeah, and they're actually, I think the electrolytics normally have two metal plates and some oil in between the plates. I think usually they're an oil
it's dielectric. An electrolytic.
Yeah.
Dielectric, yeah.
Yeah.
What would make them explode?
Too high voltage.
Too high voltage, heat, they age, they get old. I haven't seen too many old people explode, but capacitors do.
Just a bang makes a mess on the board.
Yeah.
They do make a loud bang.
Easy to troubleshoot. You can see where the problem is.
That's what valves will do. The same thing that happened with the valve was the heat went. And you just look at the board and you see which one's not glowing and you know where the problem was.
Yeah.
You've got lots of them on the board.
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along.
Sorry, what were you saying Dean? Or are you talking to somebody else? Oh, she's allowed to do that. She asks you as many questions as she wants. Mine asks me a lot of questions all the time. Okay, let's move on. I try to answer mine, otherwise she keeps asking me. Selective hearing. The other things we've got up here, if you move your fingers up to where my fingers are, drawing, they're actually terminating resistors. They're big packs of resistors that terminate various things. We don't actually know what they do, but that's what they do.
Usually pull-up resistors.
They pull up, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we actually have an inductor or two there too. So.
They're actually regulation coils to regulate the voltage. Coil up here, Geraldine, up past all the capacitors.
Which is just a coil of wire.
See all those
capacitors? Well, it is very much like that.
See those capacitors along there?
That's all they are.
See those four capacitors along there and then the inductor?
Yeah.
The inductor regulates the voltage to the processor and the four capacitors on the processor smooth the power supply so the processor doesn't get upset.
Yep.
They're called smoothing capacitors.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay. What else are we talking about? There's all the connectors over here. That's all very exciting. All the connectors that would normally stick out the back side of your computer.
Yeah, the things that you just see from behind when you at the back of the computer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You got two serial ports, a parallel port, and two USBs, and a keyboard and mouse right up the top.
Mm.
PS2 keyboard and mouse.
Okay. And that's, well, I guess we've all felt the serials and that, but maybe not the mouse ports.
And this Gemma has
just made of metal, are they?
Yeah, the pins.
Can
you hang
that over,
right?
Yeah,
can you? No, that's fine. Okay. Processor is this big sticky up thing in the middle of the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slot one. And the fan is over the other side of it, over to your right, over in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So there you go.
Yep.
To the right of that are the RAM slots. And there's three DIMM racks. They're 168-pin DIMMs.
Yep.
Little levers at the side to lock them in.
Little levers that lock them in, yes.
Yep.
And there is a keying notch that stops you putting the RAM in the wrong way.
I might actually go and get a bank. I've got some sitting over there.
And you can put those in and they click in. Do we want to actually show, or are you going to show that to them separately to Graham and
I'm going to bring it over to them. Yeah.
And those RAM slots are probably 6 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's three of them here. This one.
I'd wager that board would handle a maximum of 384 meg of RAM. Maybe 768.
You need to look the motherboard manual up.
You would, which you probably still can because the internet is a sad place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one thing you might not notice, is a bit hard to find, is there's a metal heat sink sitting on top of a chip, which is your chipset.
Okay.
It's on my side of the CPU, Kerry.
Not at all like I'd imagine.
Because that does lots and lots of work. It gets a bit warm, so they've got a heat sink on them.
In fact, some of the newer boards... put a fan on the chipset to keep the chipset cool because it got even warmer. And then when all the fans started failing, they went back to putting an even better heat sink on, and some of them actually have a heat pipe on top of the chipset.
Yeah.
And that's just made of...
Aluminium.
Yeah.
Just so you had a conductor, and it's got those fins so it dissipates the heat better.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are made... And the fact is that because it's sitting right near the CPU, the fan will blow air across the top of it, so that also helps.
All right. Yep.
I think.
Yeah, because I think it blows through the CPU rather than sucking air.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've done the memory?
I've done the memory.
We've got connectors?
We do. Up the top here, Geraldine, is the ATX power connector.
Okay. And that's about...
Looks like a wafer biscuit.
2.5 inches.
2 inches. Oh, I don't know.
I'd say 2 inches. Yeah, I'd say 2 inches.
All right, two. We'll go with two.
We should have got a ruler.
Made of plastic?
It is.
Of some sort?
Yep.
And like 20. You said, like a wafer biscuit, a bit on top.
Yep.
All little squarey little...
Round holes, actually.
Are they round?
Square.
They feel
square.
They're square.
Okay.
They're a square peg in a round hole. Because the pins themselves are round.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually a round peg in a square hole.
Exactly. And that's only about 1/4 inch in depth, width as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A little notch there. Is that to get it in and out?
There's a little bit of plastic thing that goes over the top of that when you push it down all the way, and you actually got to squeeze it in at the top and lift up, otherwise it won't come out of the board.
Right.
But it locks it into place so that you're not sort of happily using your computer and then the power falls out of it.
Yep.
Tends to stop them pretty quickly. Across from that, you have actually just next to the RAM sockets on the right-hand side are the two IDE connectors, which are 40-pin connectors.
Okay. Yep.
and they've got a keying notch to stop you putting the cable in the wrong way, assuming the cable's got a notch on it, which a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, you've got to do the red stripe to pin one rule.
Mm-hmm.
Or with IDEA, you can plug it in until it works. And the floppy is just above that.
34 pin,
actually.
34,
okay. 36 is it? Just trying to describe these. They're probably quarter inch wide by a couple of inches long.
Yep.
And made of plastic.
And they've got metal pins in the middle.
Oh, yeah. And their floppy's on its own above the rest of them. And then the other two, there's two together.
Yep.
Yeah, they can pretty well pick which one's the floppy one because it's position.
It's also a different size.
And it's a different size. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, one other important thing of interest.
What's this one here?
Well, actually, two other things of important interest, as you just asked. All the lights and things and switches on the case have to be connected to somewhere.
LEDs.
And that's where you've got your fingers there, Kerry.
Yes, all those stupid little things, and unless you can see really, really well and have the motherboard book and can squint at which colour wires they are, you plug those in there. And it's vitally important that you remember, if the wires aren't written on, then the new ones are, what the hell was plugged in where, or you'll never get it around the right way again.
Or you can do as most people do and just ignore them.
Or you can just not plug them in at all. The only one you sort of really need to plug in is the power switch and possibly the reset button, especially if you're running Vista. And, of course, what you can do then is very important to realise that light-emitting diodes are a diode, which means the current can only go one way. If you plug them in backwards, the light doesn't go on, even if somebody is at home.
Okay. Now, the other thing I was going to point out is the jumpers. Most motherboards are now jumperless, but down in the bottom corner here...
Mm-hmm.
Yep, when it's got chilly, you can put its jumper on. And jumpers are a plastic
Describing in the
shunt.
Picture descriptions.
Covered by two pins. Ah, there you go. Refer to picture description. And they cover two pins, and there's a little U-shaped piece of wire inside the jumper that actually slides down.
Tiny little thing. Hmm. Always keep a bucket load of those handy somewhere.
That's right.
Also, it's probably only less than a quarter of an inch.
About 2 mils by 3 mils. Yeah. There we go. So that's where metric
very
kills.
Tiny.
I measured it, actually, to describe.
Oh, did you?
I sat there with my calipers and I measured them.
You.
Engineer.
Yep.
And they just go sit on top. Oh, yeah.
So refer to picture description.
And they're made of plastic?
Plastic, and they've got a metal
And they've got a metal thing inside.
It shorts two pins together, acts like a switch.
Yep.
Do you want to try and put it back in?
Yeah.
Now, they can go wrong way up, but there is a right way up. And they've got a little groove around the top of the jumper.
That's actually there, so you can get
your fingernail in and pull.
Yeah, you actually train your wife to pull these things off, and you make sure she's got fingernails so she can get in under them. And
that one actually sets the clock rate. You've just set it to 300 megahertz.
Oh, good.
Right. It's only a 350 megahertz CPU. So what we should do is overclock it to 550, which is the maximum this board goes to.
So where would this go then?
I just put it on what speed you run it, want it to run at.
Okay, yeah.
Written down the side of this bank of jumpers.
350.
It's 300, 350, 400, 450, 500,
550. The irony is with a Pentium 2, you'd probably get away with overclocking it to 550. I did once. I got mine running at 416 anyway.
Really?
All right, so.
Okay, pass it around.
Yep.
I think what I might do is stop that recording and save it. Yep. And that's part one.
Yep, and then we'll get on to the peripherals.
End of motherboard recording.
Yeah, it's good.